Good morning.
Senator Gates and I were just talking about the fact that when we were presiding officers of our chambers, we always started on time. And I just noticed I am 2 minutes late, so my bad. And he's already let me know. He's already let me know. So, anyway, Bob and Izzy, you on the phone there?
Yes, sir.
Good. Thanks for being at the meeting yesterday in Destin. That was a good meeting with the law firm and stuff like that. So, welcome aboard. I'd like to do a roll call, Susan.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bentz.
Here.
Mr. Benezzi.
Here.
Mr. Connolly.
Here.
Dr. Dana.
Here.
Senator Gates.
Yes.
Mr. Riggs.
Here.
Mr. Shove.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, a quorum is present.
Okay, great. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. I just want to say at the top of the meeting that major decisions regarding the application process will not be made today. We're going to start. This is a workshop. It's the first step in a process that hopefully will be done in a couple months, because I know all of you out there have projects that you're looking at and want to get funded. So today is going to be a discussion. We welcome your input. And frankly, I just got to thinking, so many of you represent so many communities that we may just have you stand up and say who you represent so that you can sort of get the credit for being here. Whatever. We understand all that. We understand all that. So, but again, thank you for being here. And I want to reiterate that we got funded a couple of months ago. And I think I've said it more than once, probably too many times. We're going to be deliberate. We're going to be thoughtful. We're going to be methodical in how we spend this money. It's a lot of money. It's $300 million at the first shot. The next $1.2 billion comes beginning in 2019. If we don't spend this money wisely and properly and generate something that helps our economies in these eight counties, then I think we put the other $1.2 billion at risk. So if we're slow, I'm sorry, but I think we need to make sure that the projects we do, especially to begin with, are good projects, solid projects, and having the application process as firm and intense, and I don't know the word to describe it, but fair, is important. That's important not just to me, but I'm sure to our fellow board members here. So if I don't see anyone nodding their head in the opposite way. So those are just some opening remarks. If you want to sign up to speak, there's a sign-up sheet. Where is Susan? It's over there. Feel free to speak. I can tell you, if you're going to make a pitch today for your project in some city or county or municipality, this is the time to do it. We're not ready for it yet. I mean, we do not have a process yet. Now, once we have that process in place, you will know about it, and you will know how to make those steps to go forward. But today is not the time or place to pitch your project. You can if you want to, but I can tell you, until we know how we're going to properly review these applications, I do not think today is the place. And members, if you disagree with me, members?
No, sir.
I mean, I just hate to see you shoot your bullets and then have to fire them again in 2 or 3 months. Is sort of my point. So having said that, we have you all, members, you have in front of you the July 13 meeting minutes. I'm sure you've had a chance to review them and whatnot. Is there a motion to
move approval?
Steve Riggs moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Jason Shove seconds. Any questions? Any debate? Any objections? Without none, show the motion passes. Let's do the report of the committees. You'll recall at the last meeting in Pensacola, we established two committees. One to figure out who we want to have as our CPAs, and the second one to determine who we want to have represent us legally. Those are two huge things. It's very difficult for us to move forward until we have those in place. For example, with respect to the application process, we need to make sure we have good counsel on what actually is we can allow from an application perspective. The statutes are broad. They were modified. They were changed. And I think that since Pam Dana is going to be heading up that process, and you'll be hearing from her shortly, I think we need to make sure we have good, strong legal counsel. And I'm proud to say that the committee, with respect to our law firm, has done a good job. But we'll open up with the CPA selection committee, and I recognize Steve Riggs and Jason Schoaf. Steve?
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you. We met last week to discuss various accounting firms that we could have perform services for us. We needed to hire two accounting firms. One, we needed to hire an accounting firm to do our monthly bookkeeping, payroll type work, and we needed to hire another accounting firm to do our annual audit that's required by Florida statute. So our selection committee has made the following recommendations. One, we want to recommend to hire Tipton Marlowe, Garner, and Chastain out of Panama City to perform our monthly bookkeeping services.
Okay, is that a form of a motion, Steve?
It is.
Is there a second? We can get into discussions and questions. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Jason seconds it. Any questions, members of that firm? I can tell you that they represent me. The Tipton firm has for 40 years or so. And they're very good. I will abstain from voting on this. But they have a pretty good footprint, well-regarded, well-respected. And however, I will, even though I probably don't have to, I think from an optics perspective, it probably would be smart of me to refrain from voting on this. So any more discussion, members? It's too easy. Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Sure, the motion passes. You're recognized, Steve.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And again, for our annual audit services, I'd like to make a motion to approve Warren Avery, a large regional accounting firm, to provide our annual audit services.
Okay, there's a motion, and is there a second?
Second.
Jason seconds it. I can tell you I am familiar with this firm. I think Mort O'Sullivan, will he be the lead auditor?
I talked to Mort, and they're going to assemble a team. They have a lot of experience in this area.
But they enjoy a very good reputation. I don't have anything, any association, although I guess Mort and I are on the board of Gulf Power together. I don't know if I need to refrain from voting on that, Lisa, or not. Mort and I are on the board of Gulf Power together, along with Stan.
And I have Warren Averett as my CPA firm, so I'm.
We need to get you a new CPA firm.
Well, I think our counsel has said we technically don't have to recuse ourselves from this vote since there's no dollars. I think personally changing hands. Lisa, would you comment on that, please?
Suggest that Dr. Dana abstain and that you're.
Once you're talking to the microphone.
Suggest that Dr. Dana abstain and that you do not have a financial relationship, merely serving on a mutual board.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I will abstain from this vote, Chairman.
All right. There's a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Any questions? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Well, we got the money part taken care of. Next, the Legal Services Selection Committee, which is Senator Don Gates and Bob Benesi. And I recognize Senator Gates to make this presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The legal services that we require really fall into two categories: general counsel services to advise the board on the routine business that we will be doing, and then special counsel services. That's if we have an extraordinarily complicated transaction. And so consequently, in the process of developing our recommendations today, We have before you a work paper which lists general counsel services that would be provided under the agreement that we're prepared to recommend today, and then also special counsel services. I would like to thank the directors who made suggestions as to law firms that we should query. We queried a variety of firms across Northwest Florida and even outside the area, winnowing the process down to three firms. One of the three firms conflicted out close to the end of the process, and so consequently there were two firms who we did extensive interviews with, and we have a recommendation to prepare that is prepared to present to you today. Our selection committee met, culminating our work yesterday in Destin. Mr. Benezzi was present, Speaker Benz was there, and myself. And Speaker Benz also said that based on the recommendation that comes forth from our committee, that he wanted to have the details of terms and fees nailed down by Friday. Knowing Speaker Benz, I know that meant he wanted them done yesterday, and so therefore they have been done. And our recommendation today, which I'll be happy to answer questions with respect to, is that the law firm of Clark Partington, with Scott Remington as lead counsel, be selected to provide legal services both in terms of general counsel services and special counsel services. Now, with respect to general counsel services, let me skip, Mr. Speaker, to the term of engagement. And that would be a 12-month term, which is what I believe you suggested at the meeting. And the engagement fee, the not-to-exceed fee for general counsel services, would be $100,000 for the year, which is significantly less than what was proposed. So we took your direction very seriously. And then with respect to special counsel services, let me just read very quickly what that means. In the case of highly complex transactions involving two or more parties, or where the total award of Triumph funds exceeds $10 million, and when approved by the board, the firm would act as special counsel providing the services that are listed. So for our routine legal business, we would have general counsel services from Clark Partington. If we got into a mega transaction, the board could approve the use of Clark Partington for special counsel services that would involve complex negotiations of funding and representing the board and ensuring compliance with large projects, extensive due diligence, and so forth. And the terms of engagement there, Mr. Speaker, would be 12 months as well, beginning today. And special counsel services would be charged on an hourly basis, but would be at a substantial discount from the firm's standard hourly rates. And I would just give one example. The lead attorney here, if the board approves, would be Scott Remington. His standard rate for complex transactions of kind that's contemplated under special counsel services is $450 to $500 an hour. Under this agreement, his rate would be capped at $400 an hour. And you can see the other primary attorneys, their rates and the capped rates. Also, at Speaker Ben's suggestion, we've negotiated a review of representation after 6 months so that we and the law firm can review the scope of services, how adequate the services have been, the compensation arrangements to make sure that we're getting the best deal for Triumph Gulf Coast and being fair. With respect to conflict counsel, Mr. Speaker, our proposal is that in those rare circumstances where you may have a proposer who is represented by Clark Partington, and there were no conflicts that anyone can see at the moment, but we predict that there will be. As you can see by the way that we've had to discuss our own voting on a couple of fairly routine matters, we have seven people here who are involved in a lot of the civic activities and economic activities of the region. Similarly, Clark Partington, with 40 lawyers, there could well be a conflict. If there is a conflict in their representation, then we are proposing that the chairman and the treasurer would comprise a committee of the board to select conflict counsel, in other words, some other law firm to advise the board in the case of a conflict, and in the case of the need of that representation. So therefore, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee's recommendation for Clark Partington as our general counsel and special counsel with the terms and length and description of transactions and relationships as provided in the handout.
Okay. Senator Gates, I think they also represent you in a case you mentioned to me yesterday.
Yes, sir. Before the vote, if there is a vote, I will recuse myself. Clark Partington represents me in a matter totally unrelated to Triumph Gulf Coast or anything that might come before us, unless you plan to get into the world of construction defects for citizens. That's the only area in which they represent me. Consequently, in an abundance of caution, whether or not I'm required by law, and in the absence of any opinion to the contrary, I'm going to recuse myself.
If I could suggest perhaps, Bob Benezzi, maybe you could comment on the meeting that we had yesterday, comment on Senator Gates's summary, and perhaps you make the motion, since you were part of this committee. You're recognized, Bob.
I'd be happy to. Senator Gates has just laid it out very well, and I think it was an exhaustive meeting. You know, we've gone over everything, and I think his position is my position, and we should go forward.
Okay, is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to approve the Clark Pennington Law Firm. Is there a second for the Partington? I'll never get that right. there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. My comments, I did attend the meeting yesterday. I've done a lot of homework on this law firm because it is very, very important that we have good counsel. Many of the members of this firm are AV, Martindale rated attorneys, which for you lawyers out there, you know that's a big thing. And that's big in my world. And I'm not a lawyer, but I have a partner who always told me, watch out for those first two letters in front of Martindale Hubbell Ratings, i.e. AV. So having said that, I asked him a lot of questions yesterday. I've done a lot of homework. I've called folks at Pensacola to ask about this firm. I received no negative comments whatsoever. And I will tell you that I think we are well served to hire this this particular law firm, and we're in the discussion phase. Does anyone have any questions or discussion further?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
President Gates, I think you said this. I just want to be sure I'm clear. I'm certainly supportive of the motion, but Scott Remington himself will be the lead counsel to try from the firm. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, members? I'm glad you beat them down the price a little bit. I'm glad to see that.
You gave me directions, boss.
Glad to see that. That's good. Anyway, there's a motion and there's a second. We've had discussion and questions. There's a motion on the floor. Is anyone opposed to the motion? We recognize that Senator Gates has abstained from voting on this particular issue. Seeing no objection, the motion passes. We now have a lawyer and a CPA. We're ready to do business. Next on our agenda, we have the approval of a contract for executive director. Members, you've all seen it. I've circulated it to all of you. We at our previous meeting, we agreed to hire Susan Skelton, and you gave me direction to come up with a contract. We've circulated to you a copy of the contract. I've heard no responses, which means if there was something bad out there, of course, who knows what Susan? No, I'm playing. You know, again, we talked about her last meeting. She's done a great job. We're very fortunate to have Susan as our executive director. So I would entertain a motion to approve the contract between Triumph Gulf Coast and Susan Skelton.
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And a good job, Susan.
Yes, thank you.
You really have killed me, though. You call me every day.
Killing me.
Okay, Mr. Speaker.
Maybe she can call you for one.
She calls us all. Mr. Speaker, may I be recognized?
Absolutely, be recognized.
Thank you. One of the discussion items that we had at the last meeting was a recognition that Ms. Skelton has provided substantial services to this board on, frankly, an a la carte basis before the approval now of her employment contract. And I'd like to restate for the record and would be happy to help in any way that I can to make sure that that those services that she's provided up until the formal contract be recognized with appropriate compensation as determined by the chairman.
How about as approved by the chairman and treasurer?
That'd be great.
I think that would probably be even better. You want to make that in the form of a motion?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, please.
You want to second it?
I'll second.
Stan Connolly seconds. Again, we went through this last meeting. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, show the motion passes. Any more issues? I think we had legal fees for the same thing. Did we talk about that, Senator?
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. We discussed the fact that the firm of Burke and Blue similarly provided services on an a la carte basis. They chose not to submit a proposal to be ongoing legal counsel, but I believe, frankly, that we owe them some recompense for their services to this point, and therefore I would move that some appropriate compensation be paid to them, again, based upon the business judgment of the chairman and the treasurer.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And Dana seconds. Any questions? Discussion? Again, we talked about this at the last meeting, so I don't think it's any news to anyone. Any objections? Seeing none, show the motion passes. Next is approval of payment of incurred expenses for website design and placement. We have not written one check yet. Not one check. I don't know how much money we have in the bank, but there's a lot. There's a lot. So, Susan, I think you've got some bills we need to talk about paying.
Yes, sir. We have invoices for $360 from the 2K Web Group in Apalachicola, Florida. We are pending a bill of approximately $2,850 for web design services, and those are services that have already been delivered. There's also a discussion going forward about annual fees for their services for maintenance and upkeep of the website as we go forward. But for the first step, I would like to ask the board for approval to pay for the invoices for the services that have already been rendered.
Is there a motion?
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second. Any questions? Any discussion? Show the motion. Without objection, show the motion passes. Next is authorization for the director to negotiate an annual contract with 2K Web Group for website management and additional design work. You want to talk about that, Madam Director?
Yes, sir. Again, this is the company that we spoke about last month out of Apalachicola, and we've been very pleased with the work that they've done to date. I think you all have had an opportunity to look at the website. They require they have an annual hosting fee for, it's a business package, and it comes with some email accounts and the hosting services of the website, which means that they are in charge of making sure that it doesn't crash in the middle of the night somewhere. And then they also have a monthly maintenance and service fee, which provides us with 2 hours a month of edits and updates and reloads and things that we need to do to keep our website current, interacting with them. My recommendation, that fee is a $400 a month fee. My recommendation is they can charge it monthly. We don't have to pay that as an annual fee. I recommend that we pay that fee month to month, $400. And in the event that for some reason they can't continue or our needs become beyond their scope of work, we would be able to renegotiate with them or with someone else.
So you've pretty much come to terms with them on a contract?
No, sir. We've just discussed their regular business fees. Okay. And I would enter into an agreement with them.
You want our approval to enter into a $400 a month contract subject to further...
monthly services that can be canceled at any time on a monthly basis.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Conley moves. Is there a second?
Second.
I would say in discussion, this is a company to the east of us in Franklin County, correct?
Yes, sir.
So to the folks here to the east of us, we haven't forgotten about you. You know, we're doing our best. And that was, by the way, Susan's idea. And so there's a motion and a second. Are there objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes, and you are authorized to negotiate a firm contract with them.
Thank you.
Next, we need authorization for a credit card to be issued to Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. to be used to pay for necessary administrative expenses as approved by the treasurer. And I think we have... an application here today, Council?
Yes.
I think all I would suggest is, Mr. Treasurer, look at that bill each month. Not that nefarious things would happen, but we've all seen that credit cards can sometimes cause problems. So if you would, just make sure you approve all the charges and whatnot. So there's a motion that we... complete an application for credit card. Is there a motion that we approve an application for credit card?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any questions?
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
If the motion could include, if it's all right with you, that the treasurer will review credit card expenses on a monthly basis, review and approve. That way, for the record,
absolutely,
as the Auditor General is looking at us later, and we're not only talking about doing it right, we're putting it in our...
Let the record reflect that the motion's been amended, and I assume your second is okay?
Yes.
Is on that? Questions? Discussion?
Thank you, Chairman. Will there be any limits on expenditures?
$5,000?
What?
Okay.
What I propose is I'm going to have a meeting with our audit firm, and Tipton Marler is doing our monthly work, and we're going to come up with some policies and procedures. And then what I'd like to do is propose to bring those policies and procedures back in front of the board that says, okay, I'm going to review the monthly credit card expenditures. We'll have a limit. So there's some guidelines on who's responsible for what.
Do you need a card now, Susan?
Well, the reason that it would be helpful to have one in advance and minimal expenditures, but for example, if we were going to have an account with GoToMeeting so that we could do conference call type meetings, they require payment over the internet for the setup. Also, the G Suite product, the business product, Google Suite, that we want to use for Google Vault to capture all of our email activity and those types of things, they require a credit card payment. It's a monthly fee payment. So, because they do business over the internet. So, the issue is that we're sort of stuck in getting set up on some of these business functions until we have the capability to make those expenditures.
Mr. Treasurer, would you agree that we just establish a $3,000 limit for right now?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And then, once you have your policies and procedures,
yeah,
if it needs to go up, right, it can go up.
Because the fees that we're talking about are like $5 or $10 a month. It's not a huge charge. It's just that
right,
that's the way they do business, is by credit card.
So do you both agree to amend your motion?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay. Any more discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, sure the motion passes. Okay. This is the... we move on to the workshop now. And this is why... a lot of you folks are here today. And what we're going to talk about next is the application process. And one of our board members, Dr. Pam Dana, this is her world. To give you a background on Dr. Dana, she has a PhD in International Development Education and Economics, a Master's in Administration, Planning, and Social Policy. She's been a senior advisor for strategic initiatives at the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition in Pensacola, very well respected, regarded organization. From 1999 until 2007, Dr. Dana was executive director of the Governor's Office of Tourism, Trade, and Economic Development, also known as OTED.
In that role, she oversaw more than 80 programs and partnerships, including Enterprise Florida, the Florida Commission on Tourism, the Florida Sports Foundation, and more. I could keep on going. I can tell you that no one understands this process better than Dr. Dana. We are fortunate to have someone who has the experience, frankly, in the application process, who's at the top of her game. She's also a private business person. She has a charter fishing company. So she signed the front side of a paycheck like all of us in here have. So, and I can keep on going, but bottom line is we're very fortunate to have Dr. Dana heading up this process. So I'm going to hand the football off to Dr. Dana to take care of the workshop from here on.
Thank you, Chair and Vince. I didn't expect that in introduction, but
well,
thank you.
Wrote it out? Well, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness. So welcome, everybody, this is why you're here for this workshop. And I personally am looking forward to hearing from you the concerns and the issues that are most important to you in your particular area so that we can take these into consideration, if relevant, in the application process. So since the last meeting, what we've done is we've scoured a lot of different programs and grant applications that have been put in place over time. We've talked to some entities out there that are in the business of doing these kind of grant programs or economic development programs, like Enterprise Florida, the Institute for Commercialization. We've again reviewed various programs, including the one at UWF with their industry retention and recruitment expansion fund. We've looked at Space Florida applications and programs, Department of Transportation, and of course previous OTED incentive programs and different economic development funding programs. And that was under OTED and currently under the Department of Economic Opportunity. We looked at interacted with the folks at the Great Florida Northwest in their strategic plan, and Senator Gates, President Gates, and Stan Connolly had also forwarded some information which we shared amongst council members so that we could read up on. So all that said, and many of you in this room, you work in the field of economic development, so you have your own programs and grant applications in mind that have worked or have not worked. And so I think that's what we should consider a goal. What I'm going to consider a goal is that at our next meeting, we bring back, having heard the input from this group, the input from this council, we bring back an application, a draft application, and then a vision statement at the next meeting. So that's my goal, and I hope it's shared. I've worked with Lisa Walters and the team over the past month, and Lisa's just done a phenomenal job in taking the legislation as it currently reads and put it into a presentation that's in layman's language, and she's going to help lead us through what the legislation in fact says and what our parameters are in terms of awarding these monies. Once she finishes up her presentation, then we'll open it up for public comments. And do we have a time limit when we do open up? What do we?
We can keep it to 3 minutes. I mean, if you have, but if I'm not going to calm you, you know, unless you're really going on and on and on. I'll be fair.
And Susan, is there going to be any kind of a sign-up thing for record, or do we just let folks speak as they see fit?
There is a public comment sign-up sheet over here on the table. If you want to talk and you have not signed up, you need to do that.
Okay.
And I think before you open the public comment, Dr. Dana, you may want to hear from the board members on their ideas as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me that. And something we've talked about internally, but this has not been across the council, is whether the application process is by paper or electronic. And we could sure save a lot of trees if it's electronic, but, you know, so these are considerations that we need to decide upon. I think I'm just going to hand it over to Lisa. Lisa, you can take the podium or do it from here,
whatever you choose.
Podium.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to thank each of you as members of the Triumph Board for your commitment to the public service and overseeing this game-changing opportunity for the eight counties in the Panhandle, truly a generational change. As Dr. Dana indicated, what we're going to do, and it may take a little time, is very similar to what we did in September of 16, which is we are going to walk through the statute to fully focus on the parameters that you have, what the statute allows you to do, what the statute requires you to do, what are your limitations, with the hope that as you have gone through these points of the legislation, what falls out is, okay, then I need to ask X, Y, or Z on my application. While Dr. Dana reminded us that we have gone through the various IRF Restore projects, applications for multiple projects, they all serve as good templates. But you have a unique statute and unique parameters that you fall under, so we have to tailor those questions to fit into the templates that you've been provided. I think that Susan provided you with one of the documents that we've looked at in the past regarding Florida's incentive programs, what's out there. That's helpful not only for considering their applications to look at, but also as an alternative sources of funds that are available to applicants, so that one of our key issues in the statute regarding supplementing funding is not preference, but rather creating new funding. So we'll get more into that. I've also provided each of you a copy of the actual statute for your reference, so you can find the actual provision of the statute that we talk about. So at the end of our presentation and your comments, our goal is for you each to have expressed your vision for Triumph, where you want to see Triumph go, and what your priorities for outcomes are. So that from your comments today and your taking public comment today, we can develop a vision statement and a specific application with the necessary questions that you need to, in your opinion, determine which projects would go forward and be funded. Our hope is, again, at our next meeting, we have that vision. We have a rough form of an application to go forward. So the charges to the board: establish and review the priorities for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the eight counties. I've bolded economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement. Those are your buzzwords to keep in mind throughout your review and throughout your consideration of projects. You obviously have to determine the use of funds. Under the next section of this statute, you're charged with the responsibility of managing the funds responsibly and prudently, abiding by the law, administering the program created by the Act, and then here's one of our clues as to our application process is to monitor, review, and annually evaluate awardees and their projects or programs to determine whether or not a project or program should be continued, terminated, reduced, or increased. And, of course, we all know we are to operate in a transparent manner, as evidenced by the requirement that we use a web page and that 14 days notice be given prior to the awarding of any funds for a program or project. Falling into that would be Dr. Dana's comments regarding having an online application process as well. So With the received funds that you have for right now, the statute requires that 40% be allocated equally among the eight counties. That means 5% of that total is to be expended by you in each of the eight counties. County commission boards are to make recommendations to you as to projects and programs in their county, and they are required to solicit proposal from other elected local governing boards within their county. That would include school boards, municipalities, fire districts, mosquito board districts, wherever there is an elected entity. The remaining 60% is unrestricted as in how it is as to how it is expended geographically within the eight counties. Awardees may be individuals, organizations, or local governments. You have a reporting requirement that occurs twice a year, June 30th of every year and December 30th of every year. You report to the governor, president of the Senate, and the speaker your established priorities, which is one of the things we hope to get close to today, your selection process, and I would note, since that you report these two items every 6 months, that invites evolution of your priorities. A list of all projects and programs that were submitted to you, the reasons for approval or denial of each, and the status of all approved awards. So in your award process review, you're required by statute to have a specific process. One of the comments that some of you have made in the past has inquired as to whether you should have some type of pre-application screening process. That's for something for you to consider. The statute says that you may establish application periods. For example, all applications must be received by November 1 with decision and determination made by June 1. Or you can make awards as applications are received. The latter, as one of the panel member board members has mentioned to me, affords the responsiveness to opportunities as they arise. It is more reactive to opportunities as they come along and creates an environment where you're less likely to lose an opportunity because of the passage of time. You must have a scoring process. So your scores are, is it a 1 to 10 scale? Is it a 1 to 25 scale? Then who's going to do that scoring? There is a decision for you to make as to whether you might consider an initial review of an application to determine if it has met the basic responsiveness requirements and is a complete application before it goes on to be scored. Will each of you score every application? Will you create a subcommittee to do that, or will you contract that work out? Those are opportunities for you to discuss today. Your use of funds is limited to programs and projects that meet the priorities for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement. Again, that's stated in the statute for the eight counties. Specific uses of funds are listed in the statute. Ad valorem tax rate reduction, local match requirements for the rural infrastructure fund that would involve Walton, Gulf, Franklin, and Wakulla counties. Public infrastructure, not only construction, but expansion or maintenance as well. Grants to local governments that specifically are for equipment and personnel disaster response, such as those programs in the Coastal Impacts Assistance Program. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, I do have some information on that with you. If you want to get in the weeds and take that one with you, I'll be happy to provide that. Grants to support programs that prepare students for future occupations and careers at K through 20 institutions that have campuses in the one of the eight counties. The goal here is to increase or give awards to those programs or projects that increase technology skills and knowledge, encourage industry certification, provide alternative pathways to meet high school graduation requirements, strengthen career readiness initiatives, fund high-demand programs of emphasis at the bachelor's and master's level as designated by the Board of Governors. And with regard to that, I also have a list of those programs if you are interested in what those current priorities are. And to encourage students with an interest or aptitude for STEM or medical disciplines to pursue post-secondary education at a state university or Florida college system institution, again, within one of the eight counties, similar to the talent retention programs that have been created by the Chancellor and Commission of Education that will change from time to time. Grants to support programs that provide participants in the eight counties with transferable, sustainable workforce skills that are not confined to a single employer. So the question to be asked on an application would be for the applicant to address the workforce needs of current employers and document that need. Likewise would be to ask the applicant to identify the workforce needs of prospective or specifically identified prospective employers and document that need. Grants to the tourism industry, the tourism entity created under Visit Florida or under 288-1226, which is Visit Florida, for the purpose of advertising and promoting tourism and Fresh from Florida, and grants to promote workforce and infrastructure in the eight counties. And that may read awkward to you, but that is exactly from the statute. So it is tying the workforce and infrastructure there to Visit Florida. The statute also encourages you, directs you to give a priority to those projects and programs that have a potential to generate increased economic activity by generating a maximum estimated economic benefits based on non-traditional methodology of measuring. Say, traditional, we think of a cost-benefit analysis, a return on investment analysis, input-output, etc. Non-traditional, we believe what is being referenced here is what is called economic modeling. And I'm sure applicants will read this and find creative ways to demonstrate that to you. But that is determined by the legislature to be a given priority by you. Another priority would be given to those projects and programs that increase household income in the eight counties above the national average. Those that leverage or enhance key regional assets, specifically including educational institutions, research facilities, and military bases. Those that partner with local governments to provide funds, infrastructure, land, or other assistance to the program or project. Those that benefit the economy but also benefit the environment. Those that provide specific outcome measures. Those that partner with K through 20 educational institutions or school districts located in the eight counties are recommended by the Board of Commissioners of the county in which the project is located, and partner with convention and visitor bureaus, TDCs, or chambers of commerce in the eight counties. Then the statute provides some limitations to you. TRIAMP cannot fund 100% of any project or program. So how do you address that in your application process? You document all sources of funding. You document the commitment that other sources of funding have made to an applicant. You require a discussion on the timing of the availability of those funds. Are there contingencies that this project will get X from a funding partner when Y occurs, and how does that affect your funding and your timing of funding? Which goes to one important question that is to be determined by this board is whether you choose to provide upfront funding or you provide reimbursement after the fact, after an expense has been made. You may require a private match. The statute says private match. You need to determine for those projects when a private match is required, what would be the percentage? It can be as high as 50-50. What types of projects or programs will you subject to this requirement? And again, you go back to some of the same questions about the confirming the source of that private match, the timing of the availability, and again, is it an upfront expenditure or are you reimbursing? This point comes up in an interesting little other side note here in a minute we'll get to regarding clawback provisions. But as I mentioned early, the statute requires you to supplement, not supplant, existing funding sources.
Lisa, I want to make sure everyone here understands that. The example I would give is if a highway is in the five-year DOT plan to be six-lane, I'm making it up, I don't think we want to use Triumph funds to supplant those dollars. It's a extraordinary exaggeration, but you know, if there's money already out there, I don't want to see us personally, the other board members may disagree, supplant dollars that are already allocated for projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along those lines, then, one of the questions you would perhaps want to have on your application is the applicant applied for funds from other sources in the immediate past, or is there some type of application for other funding pending? If it's been in the past, what was the decision? Why was it not approved? Has it been approved? Again, as you alluded to, is the project or program in the budget of any agency, entity, or organization currently? Another angle to that is this project duplicative of a similar project or program that is already funded? Is it repetitive of something that's already being done? You're required to require of applicants, or excuse me, of recipients, a performance report. This is different from a financial report. This is performance. So if you're going to ask them to report to you how well they are performing up front, then in your application, you need to have some agreed upon metrics for measuring their impact or benefit, I would suggest. You need to determine the frequency of reporting. Bear in mind, two times a year, you have to report to the legislature and the governor on the status of the project. So that timeline has to fold into this timeline. Does the applicant have the capacity to meet the reporting requirement? By that, we mean, who's going to prepare that report? What are the credentials of that individual? What will you accept as someone with the experience to know how to complete that report adequately, provide those measurements that you're asking for? Will you allow Triumph funds to be used for preparing the report and other administrative costs? Your statute caps the amount of funds that you can expend on administrative. Are you guys going to consider some type of cap there? There are also accounting requirements that you must require of a recipient. So again, questions that flow from that are, what are the credentials of the person preparing that accounting and documentation that the funds are using properly? Will you require a certified public accountant? Will you leave that to the discretion of the applicant? Will you require a specific format for those reports, specific information that is to be provided uniformly across the board by all recipients? What type of minimum standards will you have? What type of minimum information for that reporting? And again, identifying that accounting staff. Who's on the team? Who's going to be overseeing the expenditure of the money? Who is going to be overseeing the implementation of the program and project? What are their qualifications? What are their success stories? That is for the protection of the dollars. Who's protecting your dollars? Along the same lines as from the accounting, I might mention here, are some decisions regarding how you will allow applicants to spend money and procure items. You are required to have payback provisions in your contract with any recipient, sometimes in the economic development world called clawback provisions. You'll need to consider what will be those instruments. Will you accept letters of credit to guarantee that a recipient can repay Triumph monies if they are not successful, if they're failing, or if fraud has been committed in the application process? And again, this is a statutory requirement. These reports that you're required to get from each recipient, you need to determine the timing, again, folding into the other timing requirements you have. Again, specific format. Will you require an affidavit as to its completeness and accuracy? Who will you want to prepare that? Will you want the program or project manager to sign off on that? Will you want an independent reviewer? So going through all of the statute leads us to some suggested areas or perhaps specific questions for your actual application. Obviously, the scope of the project. Obviously, evidence of economic diversification, recovery, and enhancement. Again, your key terms. Are you interested in long-term and or short-term benefits that will be provided within the disproportionately affected counties? Is there collaboration with private and public partners? And if so, what is the structure of that collaboration? Who will be doing what in a program? And who will have the responsibility to implement a program or project within that collaborative team? I think many of you have heard that there are, it's a wonderful to see so many people working together and really trying to pull their resources together, but that leads to different questions as to who is collaborating and the evidence of the commitment of all of those partners at what level, financially and in terms of manpower. Leveraging of funds, I've heard you guys speak of this over the past 2 years. What are the other existing pledged, received, or potential sources of funds? And when are those funds available from those collaborating partners? Are there state funds, municipality funds, local government funds, Chamber of Commerce funds, EDC? You know, who all is at the table and who all is making something a reality? How will you address multi-phase or multi-stage projects or programs, those who may have multi-year funding needs and sources and be able to develop their program or project over a period of time as opposed to being a one-time injection of capital? Is it a regional or multi-jurisdictional project or program? Perhaps that is a priority of you and something you want to know in your application. Again, this comes from comments that you have made in your past meetings. Does it have an indirect or a direct regional impact? While something may be located in one county, does it spill over to the neighboring counties? Is that important to you? Do you want to know that information on your application? Does the program or project have the support or is it opposed to by a local government? Just as important as who is supportive may be in terms of future funding needs, who is opposed to it, leading to sustainability. Are there ongoing funding needs for the operation, maintenance, program, refurbishment, equipment replacement, etc., that one-time award of Triumph would not cover, could not cover, and would require in future years these expenditures, and is there an identifiable source for those funds? Again, if that is something that is important to the board as a whole. What's the strength or confidence in that projected impact that you would have. It goes back then to how do you measure that impact? Will you require a detailed budget up front, including any financial contingencies or unforeseen costs? One question to ask is whether the program or project has received all necessary permits, approvals, and licenses. If it has not, what is the likelihood of that project or program receiving all of those permits, approvals, or licenses? And how does that affect your funding cycle of when you might make an award to someone who has not received those? Because, as you know, you have funds coming in the future, hopefully. So that's my framework for your discussion. I would add that, again, what you're doing is transformational, generational. And at my age, I had to obtain the assistance of my 12-year-old niece in order to prepare the presentation today. And as a benefit, she was gracious enough to come up with a nice logo for me to use today, too. So many thanks to my niece, Eden Elizabeth Walters, for her assistance in my presentation. So.
Good job, Lisa. Are there any questions of Lisa?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. You're recognized.
So, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm on page 4 of your presentation, Lisa. And I just think it's important that maybe we start getting into a little bit of the devil of details here as we go through this. And this particular page deals with the allocation of the funds across the 8 counties and the 60% unrestricted.
Yes.
And one of those devil of detail kind of things is over time, and depending on how we make grants and the timing of the payment of those grants, I can see the ebb and the flow happening over a fiscal period where we may not always be, during a fiscal period, directly in line with a 5% to each county. It could simply be that a project grant has been made, but the payment has therefore not been made, right?
I'm sorry, did you get the very last part of that?
It may be that we agree to allocate or grant monies, but they not be paid yet, depending on how we decide when we make payments, right?
Right.
So I have always read this disbursement, the intent being that over time it was 5% to each county.
And that actually changes with the next cycle of funding in the statute to a different percentage.
All right, but for the first percentage,
yes.
Should it be our understanding that from the first $300 million that we have, that during the fiscal period in which that's available to us, it has to be 5% on an ongoing basis, annually or over time?
With regard to that amount of money,
right,
would be my interpretation. I would suggest that's the first question that you ask Mr. Remington.
Okay. To my peers. Do you understand
sure
my question?
Absolutely.
I can see where there's going to be an ebb and flow of that.
Yes,
and
that is.
I want to get some clarity on that. In fairness to our counties who are expecting their 5%, I can just see periods of time when it's going to ebb and not equal 5% for every county at every moment in the application process. So I think that's an important question.
And disbursement process.
Right.
Right. Well, that goes to, you may have one county that has a project next week that you agree to. It may take another county 6 months for that project to evolve to where they are able to complete a complete application and submit it to you for review.
I just think that's an important point for all of us and our county partners to understand and for us to consider going forward.
Pam? I was going to suggest Lisa come on over to the table. So.
Yeah, come on. That's a good idea. When does the next tranche? When does the next $100 million come in? I don't remember. It's 19. Do we know the date in 19?
2019. What? I don't know if there's an exact date.
Summer, probably summer.
July 1.
The
last
it came in the summer of 16.
By July 1 of
it.
July
1
of 19.
19.
So technically, that $100 million is subject to the approval of the legislature, Mr. President.
I'm trying to remember how to use the microphone.
The scissors, you'll never figure
How's that going? That's what, well, we just didn't have the money that you have in the house for microphones. I'm certainly not trying to play legislator or lawyer here, but my understanding is that because of an amendment that Senator Broxson introduced that was passed and included in the act that was adopted this year, that as soon as the CFO receives the funding from BP according to the federal court settlement, that it passes directly through to Triumph Gulf Coast, that we don't have to go through a legislative or appropriations process. However, Speaker, as you indicated, if there are problems with Triumph Gulf Coast or with the way that projects are panning out, the legislature can always make a change. And that's why, your caution at the very beginning is, I think we need to act as though we are constantly being observed by our legislative delegation to make sure that we're doing what's right and that we're getting fair exchange for our money.
But to address the question, Stan, so technically, the next tranche of money comes in July of 19. So the first money came in July of 16, if I recall. So really, I could argue, since we just got the money in 17, we have the balance of 17, the rest of 18, and the first 6 months of 19 to spend this $300 million. Would that be a correct assumption?
Well, I think so.
So should we set our goals to try to spend that money basically the next 2 years? I mean, that's what we're looking at. Not 3 years, not 4 years, but next 2 years. But I also don't want to spend it willy-nilly if there aren't good projects. You know, I think we all agree on that. So I think that's a good base to begin to answer your question.
And I think over time we'll have to grapple with spent versus committed, mm-hmm. right? It may be that we commit to a grant that it hadn't been expended yet. But I think we need to aim toward having a significant majority of this money at least committed, in my vernacular, over the period in which you're speaking of. I think putting that money to work as quickly as we can, but as effectively as we can, ought to be a priority.
And as Senator Gates made the comment, I'm sorry, I know, I'll be quiet. You know, we should look at all sources, federal money. But I also know that getting federal money doesn't happen in 24 hours. It might happen in 24 months. I don't know. So the timing and commitment is really important. If somebody comes to us and says, we've got, you know, this project, call it a port or whatever, we're going to get some federal dollars. They won't come in for 18 months. And let's say we approve it. Does that count toward their, you know, 5%? I mean, we've got to figure that out. Pretty soon in this overall application process.
Mr. Chair, if I may, the term of this statute is that the monies must be allocated to those counties. The 5% must be allocated, not necessarily expended or dispersed, but mm-hmm. the term is allocated. Of that $300 million, 5% has to be allocated to each of those.
Members, any more discussion on that part of it?
Just one point,
yes, sir.
And Lisa, please correct me if I'm mistaken. But I think there is perhaps some confusion in the minds of some folks. Maybe it's confusion in my mind. There should be, I think, no expectation that there's going to be a check cut to a county government for 5% of $300 million with a note saying, you know, have a great year, and we hope to diversify the economy. Instead, the notion, I think, the intent behind the legislative language is that we look for projects that are worthy in each of those counties, and that we ensure that county governments have an opportunity to make proposals to us. But at the end of the day, we can't evade or escape the business judgment that we have to exercise over the expenditure of 100% of that money.
Well said.
That is exactly the case.
Okay, so let's begin. We can have dialogue today. Here is my suggestion on the next step. Number one, I think we should establish a committee that Pam Dana chairs to begin working on this application process. I'm not sure who would like to serve on that committee. Raise your hand if you would like to. Jason, you're certainly welcome to serve on the committee. And anyone else, Stan Connolly. Let's keep it three. I'll pass. Senator, you're certainly welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you picked the right three.
So I think we have three. Those three can begin setting up the process with careful input from our law firm, because we just saw a lot of statutes up there. We saw a layman's interpretation of some of those statutes. I think as you come up with that process, there may be projects we want to do that Mr. Remington says that's just outside the scope of the statutes, guys and gals. You know, you just can't do it. So, and I also think that you folks need to have input to those three people, along with Susan Skelton, regarding how you think this process should work. Today's the first day, and I will tell you, I want a lot of work done in the next 30 days. And I would like to have the process in place completely 2 months from today, ready to roll. The world understands, you folks understand how it operates. Yeah, I know you want it today, I understand that, but let's do it properly and correctly, unless there's a member of the board that disagrees with me on setting up a committee. Does anyone have any objections to that? I don't see and I would like for Dr. Dana to chair that committee, if you would, please.
Yes, sir.
And I will turn it back over to you, Dr. Dana.
Well, thank you. I jotted down a few notes during the presentation, and something I want to ask the council members. First and foremost, back to the electronic applications, do we want paper applications or electronic applications? And if we are of the... Sorry? So if we are, if we do want electronic applications, then would this firm that was just, or that we've just approved, what is it,
M2K
Web Group, would they be capable of putting together such a platform?
My understanding is yes. I've had I don't know if my microphone is.
Put it on. It's got to be green.
It's green.
Okay. There you go. Yes, I have had a conversation with them, and we did not enter into trying to build the application platform at the beginning of the... We were just trying to get a website up and operational. They are capable of doing that. I think that we might want to collaborate with some other groups that have the security issues that... I think we talked about App River at the last meeting. Some folks that have some additional security measures in place. One of the questions that they did ask me when we first talked to them about the possibility of doing the application was if you want the application to be interactive. And I will tell you that my suggestion on that point is no, you do not want an interactive application. This is the type of thing where you get to change it on the fly. In other words, if you make a mistake in your application, you just can go back in and change it at any time. It requires the user to have a password. It opens us up to a lot of potential hacking issues and security issues. And the suggestion that I got from the web group, and also what I've thought about, I think that the best solution would be that, yes, you could have an electronic application. If there are deficiencies or questions about the application, then the board could ask in a separate email or document for that person to respond to the deficiency or the questions, and then those things can be attached to that application. But the idea of a back and forth in the application process between the user and the board is very complicated and opens ourselves up for some issues that I don't think we need to. So we have had some conversation. We have thought about some of these things. And if the board's decision is to go forward with an electronic process, we can be prepared to talk about a template. And
I think the committee is the one that decides. I mean, let the committee make recommendations.
Right. At that point, yes, we'll be able to talk about that in short order, I believe.
Okay, well, given that it's going back to the committee, then perhaps we look at the pros and cons of both electronic application
Absolutely.
Versus a paper, and unless folks have more comments on it. No. Okay. Other things that I have jotted down is, are there any strong feelings on minimum and maximum limits that we want to put into play? You know, there'll be some projects maybe will come in, a $10,000 project, but maybe a transformational means $50 million. So these are kind of ideas we have to think through in developing application. Maybe we don't, maybe we say whatever you guys come up with and let us evaluate it and score it.
And what Enterprise Florida, where were there, do they have limits?
They have job creation, you know, they focus on the job creation, how many jobs are created based on what incentives they give out, and of course they, their whole process has changed
right.
as of this year. Not to my knowledge, but they are looking for game-changing
right.
you know, things that are going to be meaningful in creating jobs. So in a rural area, 5 jobs may mean the same thing as 2,000 in Orlando. So
right.
Stan would, he's the, aren't you the acting chair? Or vice chair?
Vice chair, thank you. No, I think you said that well. You know, and I may rue the day I suggested this, but I think early on we ought to just leave it open and not put a minimum or maximum. Let's see what we get early on, and I think we can evolve our boundaries over time, but until we get our feet under us, maybe we leave it more open than closed.
So I'll just ask the council members, what burning priorities would you like to put on the record so that when this committee does come together, that we ensure that we're trying to tackle it?
Me, economic recovery, diversification, enhancement. I mean, that really, I mean, that's wide open, but I don't have anything specific.
Does that mean?
And trust me, I've been pitched a lot of deals so far, but I don't have anything that I'm in love with. I think everything out there should go through a good vetting process that this committee is going to set up, but those three words are, you know, pretty big.
Does that mean, in the legislation itself, it does not speak to job creation, but
my personal one does.
Does okay. for me as well.
So that would be, as when we're developing scoring priorities, and that would be perhaps one of the...
Do any of your members have any problems with that?
No, I just wanted to say that I would hate to back ourselves into a box on any of these issues. Coming from a small county myself, there are things that a smaller county can do and can't do versus a larger one. And I would like to see the application process take that into consideration on either a scale or matrix, or perhaps left flexible enough that the smaller guy can stand toe-to-toe on some projects.
Sure.
So what you're referring to is if you had a scoring system and we have 10 priorities, 10 major priorities, that each of those priorities would have a score applied to it, and then those scores would be weighted?
No. More along the lines of, if we just take the match, for example, or if we went into bonding, or anything that we apply, I would hate to see it applied across the board for all applications, where you have some larger groups that could put up a larger match. And if we put, I'm just jumping around on different things, but say we set a flat match, a large city could easily hit that, whereas a very small town couldn't. I would like to see a lot of flexibility if the law firm allows us that without getting in trouble.
Stan.
Just a couple, maybe to complement what's already been said. Is that on? In the spirit of what Jason just said, I think match is important. And, you know, match to 10,000 could be an equal match of 10,000. At the end of the day, you've leveraged up 100%, right? A $10 million project, if you can leverage up 100%, that's great. I just think back to an earlier discussion we had at a prior meeting, turning this billion and a half to several billion ought to be a long-run priority for us. And there's ways of doing that to keep it flexible, and I agree we need to keep it flexible to consider that. But I think that is a priority to me. Secondly, I mentioned this earlier, is speed. We don't want to make grants, I don't think, that produce fruit in 5 years or 10 years. We need to be producing value for Northwest Florida in a matter of months. The earlier the better, I think. So for me personally, in terms of something that's a priority in waiting, ought to be how quickly can it be put in place, whatever it is, to produce value for our communities. And so, again, that's something we've talked about before, but I think we need to build into our process where we can some prioritization around that. And back to the earlier conversation we had about how quickly we spend it, we don't want to spend it frivolously at all. I'm not suggesting that, but our communities need the value as soon as they can get it. So those are a couple of extra thoughts I'd like to just put on the record.
Separate subject, but you, I don't know what y'all think about having a pre-approval, pre-score process. You know, let's say we get 200 applications. Is this board going to review 200 applications? Are we going to have, if we were to hire someone to help us score these things, are we going to go full bore, score 200 of them? Or could our committee pre-score and cut down, you know, some that comes in front of us? Just a thought.
The answer is yes, and careful, because this whole council, I would imagine this council, maybe I'm speaking for myself, do we want to score these as a full body? That's your question, or whether you want to delegate some of the early applications to the committee.
Yeah, that's my question.
And if some of the early applications did not fare well under the committee, if you weren't on that committee, would you have a disappointment level because you felt more strongly? So, or would you even want to delegate it out to a contracted firm to do the scoring? That's a very good question and something we need to determine here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
You're recognized.
Thank you. My understanding of Dr. Dana's committee is that they're going to develop an application process and deal with the metrics issues, measurement issues, that sort of thing. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we said that we were going to load the whole burden of scoring every single project on these three folks. I think that'd be
I'd be fussed in case I want to step down.
You took the words out of my mouth, Senator.
I'm glad you.
You're the formational group. You're going to, come up with a plan. The plan may be that the entire board, looks at all of them. It may be that we hire somebody up. That's your job.
Okay.
At least that's mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. And I guess my only comments, Pam, to just give you a flavor of my views are that I agree with the speaker that we want to address all three of the major areas of priority in the legislation. But I learned as a not very good hitter when I was playing baseball in high school, don't swing at every pitch. And I think we need to pick our pitches here. And if I had to pick one, I would pick economic diversification. What we have learned is that if something bad happens in the Gulf of Mexico, we go to our knees. And if somebody in the Pentagon gets the sniffles, we get pneumonia, as far as our military-related economy is concerned. We want to continue to support and expand all of that. That's our bread and butter and meat and potatoes. But economic diversification is one of the reasons this law was originally passed, because we want to make sure that, God forbid, if we have either a crisis in the Gulf, man-made or natural, or if we become a BRAC victim as opposed to a BRAC winner, that we have something in our economy for our children, our grandchildren, to not just fall back on, but to expand their quality of life. So my hope is that as you consider a method of evaluating proposals, that there are metrics which measure economic diversification. To what extent does this place, this project, place a third leg under the stool of our economy? Or are we shimming up the existing parts of the economy? Nothing wrong with that, but at some point, we have to have a third leg. And secondly, getting to the point that that a couple of folks have already made, I think we need to have some kind of objective validation of proposals. Speaker Benz and I both served in the legislature, and we found out as the economy began to tank and people came forward with requests for money that everything creates jobs. Everything creates jobs. Just give me a check, and jobs will miraculously appear. And how many jobs you need? Just a second. How many jobs you want? 75? Got it right here, right behind my tie. 75. You need 2,000 jobs? This creates 2,000 jobs. And I think we need to make sure that we validate claims and we validate metrics and we validate the methods by which people arrive at their conclusions. So I'm a big believer in using somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight to provide us not with a decision, but with an analysis. And consequently, my hope is that you'll consider that. And there are plenty of people in that business. I'm not promoting anybody in particular, but I think we need objective validation. And in that regard, I think we also need to build into the application process a validation by local government, by our county commissions. I would hate for us to be in a position where the statute obliges us to spread these opportunities out, and so we agree to fund something in Bay County, and it looked good to us, and then the county commission came back later and said, well, that's about the last thing we think ought to happen in Bay County. And so instead of being supported by the county commission later says, we hate this. We don't think this is one of our priorities. So if we build into the application process a requirement that applicants talk to their local governments and get support from their local governments before they come to us or as they come to us. The next thing, Pam, is that I believe in performance-based funding. I do not believe in faith-based economic development. Give us the money and have faith it'll work. Instead, I believe in performance-based funding where people commit to specific objectives and they get the money if and as they meet the objectives, as opposed to give us the money and it'll all be fine. And that's why I believe strongly in clawbacks and in all of the other kinds of methods by which we evaluate and require performance. The next thing is, and this is something that Lisa covered, I don't believe we should be the first money. There might be exceptions to that. We can't by law be the only money. And I think it would be a mistake for us to be in the business of providing funding to something that will die unless it is continually artificially inseminated.
Sustainability.
Yeah.
Funded.
Artificially funded. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, House, Senate, you know, we always do it a little wrong in the Senate. But a project that's going to live on. So what we're doing is helping to give it life as opposed to creating an organism that never quite can make it. And then my next comment is I really do believe in leverage. If we don't turn this $1.5 billion into $3 billion, we all ought to get fired. And the easy way to do that is to just say, well, bring 50% when you come. But there are more creative ways as well. And that is, as the speaker said, if we have a project that is related in some way to infrastructure, presidents talked about, President of the United States talked about a huge infrastructure initiative. I don't know if it gets going or not, but if it does, we ought to be pairing up and partnering up with that, and we ought to be leaning all over Congressman Dunn and that other fellow to make sure that that we partner up with federal money and with state money and with local money. A lot of projects come forward and people say, this is the greatest project in the world, you need to fund it. Well, have you put any of your own money in? Well, this is a project that's really good if I don't have to put my own money in. So I believe that we ought to have private money that's required. I believe we ought to have local government participation where and if they can. And as Jason says, if you're talking about the city of Mexico Beach, that's different than if you're talking about the city of Pensacola, just in the nature of scope and size. Not that Pensacola could do everything and Mexico Beach could do nothing, but this has to be scaled and scalable. And then finally, Mr. Speaker, I believe we need to have proof of results, and again, objective validation of proof of results, so that it isn't just that somebody sends us a report and says, yeah, we spent the money and it's all good, but instead, and not that we ourselves get lobbied into believing that something's good, but rather that there's objective validation of those results, so that when we say to the governor and the speaker and the president and senate that this is what happened, that we are relying upon hard evidence that we know ourselves based on an objective third party. And then, Speaker, I would just say, you know, there may be projects out here that are $25,000 projects that indeed are transformational. And I would never shut the door on a small project. But I hope that when this process is over in about a dozen years, that we don't look back and say, well, we've got a big stack of canceled checks here. And if we wander around, we can probably find a few places where we did a couple of things. But really can't point to anything specific. We spent the money and it sort of, you know, bled away through the economy. But there's really nothing specific that changed people's lives. I would hope that 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 12 years from now, we can say, and more importantly, the people of Northwest Florida can say, Triumph Gulf Coast made a difference in the chances and prospects of our children and grandchildren being able to compete for and get jobs, good jobs, that they otherwise would not have gotten in this economy. So that's what I would hope you would keep in mind as you develop your plans.
Thank you, President Gates. Very thoughtful, excellent points. Appreciate it.
Pam, any more? What I want to do is, when I was appointing the committee, I realized, I looked around the table, and I didn't see Bob Benezzi here. Bob, would you like to serve on that committee as well?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so put four in the committee. I don't think it's been overburdened.
Nope.
I think that's a good idea. And
thank you, Bob.
Okay. So when do you want to meet?
Well, I'll have to...
Monday?
I'll have to consult with my very busy colleagues.
When he told me to get it done by Friday, he really meant yesterday.
I'm thinking Monday, Tuesday,
as soon as I can get concurrence from the other folks on this.
It's a public meeting, so we have to provide notice. So,
how many days notice?
I would suggest probably four or five, just so that you're safe. I think five, just to be safe.
Sure, because I know a lot of you folks out there want to attend these committee meetings. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road in terms of you having input on how this process works. And I would like to see one, maybe two meetings of the committee between now and our next meeting in September. I know it's a burden. It may be, but I'd rather have it eyeball to eyeball, but maybe one or two can only do it by conference. But I really think that's very important. I really do.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done, so I'm more than happy to meet at least two times before the next meeting.
And really, Senator Gates, your comments, you are the father of this thing. You know, you and Speaker Weatherford were the ones that really did it. And everything you've just said is why you created that legislation. You know, you want to have game changers in there. You know, you wanted to diversify the economy. Those are all things that I think are important. And so, anyway, I'm happy that we are moving forward on that. So you're going to set up a committee meeting?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Dana? Okay. A couple of other housekeeping items. At our last meeting, we talked about an E&O policy. And that got my attention. I guarantee you it got my attention. So there is an application that's been sent to me. I think I sent it to you, Susan.
Yes, sir.
I was waiting for a new law firm and CPA firm to get on board so they can help us complete that application.
Yes, sir. I have it here ready to talk to them.
We need to get that. Yes, we need to get that done because I like to get sued very often. I don't like that at all. Also, we talked about a location. I think that's a little premature right now. As Senator Gates mentioned, it could very well be we outsource the a lot of the application process. I don't know. I don't have any. I'm not predisposed either way. That's up to the four folks on the committee. But if it's outsourced, then we may only need 1,000 square feet. If we have 10 people on staff, we might need 4,000 square feet. So I think we call a timeout for that for now on office space. Until we figure out, you know, how the process will work and how many staffers that we have physically that would be in the office. Would you members agree on that?
Yes, sir.
Susan, do you have authorization to write checks? Can you sign checks now? Or just me and Stan? We have bills to pay.
That's my
whole point.
Only you, Speaker Vince, and Mr. Connolly at the moment, but we have additional signature cards in the works to add out the treasurer.
Okay.
And again, it's part of the process of getting the accounting established and the policies and procedures in place.
She's got some bills that need to be paid. I want to get them paid quickly.
Mr. Chairman, would you take a motion on that?
Sure. Fire away.
Mr. Speaker, I move that bank cards be signed and bank resolutions be executed so that the chairman and treasurer, either one, can sign checks up to $5,000, and that above $5,000, two signatures are required, and that they that these be executed at our bank as soon as practical.
I was thinking $500,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, boss. Whatever you say.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's a second. Why don't you abstain since you're going to be voting? Jason, you second it. Any questions, any discussion, any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. Now, we have a lot of folks that want to talk. And before we get to that, members, is there any other housekeeping we need to do before we finish this meeting, Susan?
I do have a question. Jason and I have... is this on? No, can tell.
Yeah.
Jason and I have spoken about emails, and I know that the way we have the website set up now, we have an info@myfloridatriumph.com email where the public can leave comments, and if they have information they would like to share with the board members, it can be delivered through that portal. I just want to know if members would want to have individual email accounts through myfloridatriumph.com, understanding that all of those email accounts are public record and will have to be retained. And so I just don't know if this is something that you all want to have.
I think everyone needs to know how to get in touch with us. If it's public, so it's public. I'm okay with that.
We'll either set
personally,
those up.
I don't know, other members?
Yes.
All right. We'll either set those up through Google Vault or through the website, but we need to make sure that we have a way to retain those. Those are some of the legal questions that we're
trying to make. Can you get that within a week?
I hope so.
Because these folks, they're looking for people to talk to.
Anyone who wants to comment now can go to the website and comment through info@myfloridatriumph.com. But in the interim, we will get the email set up as soon as possible.
Who answers info? Are you the one that responds to?
It's ghosted to my email address,
okay.
So I see them all, and if, in the event that there's something that a member needs to see or respond to, I can get it to them. But it's ghosted through my email account at this point.
Could you tell us again what our email address is, or our website address is, or both?
Info at myfloridatriumph.com.
Okay.
And the website address is www.myfloridatriumph.com.
If we Google Triumph Gulf Coast, will it come up? Do you know? Does anyone know?
Well, it does on my computer. I don't know if it comes up on others.
It does. Okay. So I live by Google, you know. Okay.
Speaker, I have a question.
I'm sorry. I yield.
Dr. Dana?
Lisa Walters has been working as... just as evidenced by the presentation, she's been working to help some of us maneuver through the legislation, and if appropriate, while they won't be the legal representation, if appropriate, I'd like to hear if it would be okay we continue to have Lisa support the committee in, you know, working through this application process.
Any comments, members? I would not want to pay double in legal fees. That's the only thing I would ask, you know. Is there a way to work that out?
I was just going to say, I think it would be helpful in the interest of time, if nothing else, as the firm becomes quickly, and we'll hold them accountable for becoming quickly oriented. But Lisa has a lot of history that she could help us with, at least in the next few weeks.
That was my thinking.
That's a good point. Any objections to that, members? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman? Senator?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question. Maybe you can give us some guidance. Obviously, there are a lot of people who have a lot of good ideas about how they want to improve our economy. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's getting calls saying, will you come meet with me? Will you take a tour? Will you meet with our group? Can we see you? Can you give us some guidance, Mr. Chairman, on how you want us to proceed with that? We don't have an application process yet, but we will have one soon. And between now and the time that we can articulate how it is you begin to propose ideas to us, how do you want us to, or what would be your advice to us as we get requests to go places, tour things, see people, have meetings? As individual directors, how should we respond?
I'll leave that to the members. What do y'all think? You're going to get, you can be pretty busy. On the one hand, we can get worn out. On the other hand, I don't want us to appear to be unresponsive either. And but I know I get calls to go to Rotary clubs and whatnot, and this have to sort of draw the line at some point in time. I'm curious what the other members think.
I have no problem telling someone no if I can't make it, or if it's too much. It doesn't.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like it's my role, whatever I can do to facilitate this process, and maybe that's meeting with some counties or cities, and even though we may not have a lot of information to share, being able to share some information that we do have or express. One thing I've expressed to certain parties is, okay, we're starting this process, you should already be along in your process. So I think we say yes when we can, no when we can't make it, but anything that we can do to start to facilitate this process and to encourage all the interested parties to get organized, I think that would be prudent. And I mean, that's kind of what I've done.
Mr. Speaker. Dr. Dana?
Or Dr. Stan?
I was going to say I agree with that. I just think we need to take some caution that we don't optically look like we're lining up or sponsoring individual projects as members. There's a lot of them out there, as you know, and here lately I have biased towards we're in the process right now, give us a little time to get the application process going versus sitting and hearing all the ideas. That's where I have personally biased, and I just think we just need to manage the optics of that.
And that's what I've done too. I've just, you know, we're just in the beginning of this process, so I think we sort of punt that ball down the road till we finish up in a couple of months the application process would be my thoughts.
Agreed.
And if you want to attend a meeting, just do like I do, be noncommittal, and frankly, just be honest. We don't know how the application process will work. An old partner of mine used to say, when everything else fails, truth's the best policy. You know, just, we're working on it. Yeah, we're in the middle of it.
So one suggestion, Mr. Chairman, and that is I'm going to do this. Nobody else needs to if they don't want to. Anytime I meet with anybody about Triumph, I'm letting our executive director know who I'm meeting with.
Good idea for all of us.
And not to require her to come unless she wants to, but certainly if she wants to. But also that way she has a record of it. So that if people are going around sort of shopping directors one after the other, that's fine. This is America. But she will have a knowledge of who I'm talking to, at least.
Good idea. Having said that, there's some of you who have chosen that you want to speak. Any other business before the board? We pretty much, everyone feel comfortable? We talk through everything? Everyone happy? We have a number of people that want to speak. Feel free to speak. I think we may have answered a lot of your questions already, so if you want to pass, just stand up and wave. Ken Lawson from Visit Florida. He runs Visit Florida. Ken, where are you?
I'm right here, sir.
All right, welcome, buddy. You're recognized.
Well, I appreciate it.
Welcome to Panama City and Panama City Beach.
Well, I love being in this community. Back when I was the Secretary of GPR and now being the head of Visit Florida, I spent a lot of time in Northwest Florida. I know how important tourism is to our economy. And at the appropriate time, we'd like to be helpful. You know, since we are the state's leading marketer, we want to work with the eight counties to help market Northwest Florida. And there's a proposal, and I think that we perhaps form a regional coalition to help market Northwest Florida, bring everyone together, and to ensure that we bring tourists here to drive our economy. Now, I've spoken to tourism leaders, and I think that coalition would be the appropriate measure to follow at the appropriate time. And by leveraging our resources with Visit Florida and also the regional business bureaus, we can work together to make this work. Now, one thing I believe in is transparency and accountability. We've had experience about BP money in the past four times where we managed those funds for Northwest Florida. And we're prepared to work with every single county in this region to ensure that we're transparent and accountable. We do not replace any activities we're going to have for Northwest Florida with these funds we give. So hopefully at the right time, we can do that. We plan to submit a proposal and hopefully you'll consider it. But we want to be helpful and be partners with this community center.
Any questions of Mr. Lawson? Any questions, members?
No.
Thank you very much. And thank you for coming. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
We have the mayor of Pensacola, Ashton Hayward. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good, Speaker.
2 hours or 2.5 hours of drive over
I'll make
here.
It real quick. As my friend Don Gates said, Senator Gates, President Gates, no one wants to hear a politician talk too much. But
never stop me.
Me either. Get the microphone. I'm there.
Well, first, I want to thank the public for being here and thank the board for being here. And sincerely, President Gates and Speaker, thank you for what you've done. Senator Gates having Northwest Floridians back during this time of catastrophe in the Gulf. I listened just now. I think the process, hopefully we can focus on what y'all talked about being nimble, lack of bureaucracy and speed, and it's great to be in Bay County for one, but I urge all my colleagues to be organized and ready. One of the concerns listening today is, you know, when cities and counties are organized and maybe others aren't, we don't want to slow the process down because I strongly believe we need to show the legislature that we are spending these dollars the way the statute says and move forward and move quickly. And I strongly agree with what Senator Gates said on diversity and diversifying our economy. This is a transformational time in the great state of Florida, and especially Northwest Florida, to diversify our economy. So I want to urge my colleagues across the eight counties that we can move this process, be nimble, be fast, and lack the bureaucracy. So again, thank you for allowing us to be here today, and thank you for your transparency.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks for traveling all the way here. We really appreciate it. Bobby, I think it's Purdue, Wakulla County Schools. Bobby, I may have pronounced the name wrong, no? How about Sonny from Wakulla County Schools? Sonny Chancy? Okay, I'm trying to get elected officials knocked out first. Randy Bristow, Wakulla County Schools. Randy, you still here? I think y'all took the same bus back. Okay. Joseph Parrish, Franklin County Board of County Commissioners. Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning. I want to thank everybody for allowing the public to come in this morning and attend your tribe board meeting. You know, it's amazing how it's always Speaker, Senate President Gates and Speaker Benz. You never lose that title once you hold it, and that's what we all know you as. And I'm glad to hear y'all using that language between each other. But, you know, getting back to what Jason was saying earlier, when you're talking about smaller counties and the larger counties within the 8th county, we used to call it coalition, we don't have the resources in the smaller counties to prepare all these projects. We didn't know what was going to be allowed, which is why we're here today to try to establish the application process. But I just wanted to reiterate, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, we're ready to move, we're ready to move. And I hear Senator Gates say, we want to make sure we're prudent, we want to make sure we spend this money wisely. And we all do, including myself. So we are a small county, and it's going to take us a little while. And a lot of the legislation that was passed this year to give new direction of how the money should be spent, a lot of it sounds like it comes from the Treasury and the Feds, because they follow the same protocol. Sustainability, diversification of our economies, which is what we went through during the BP oil spill. I know Senator Gates was there at a lot of those meetings, met him a lot of times over in Fort Walton and different places where we'd have those meetings. And diversifying the economy is important. How we do that is very important. But I'm here speaking. Small counties, Gulf, Franklin, Walton, we don't have the resources. I got three clerks in my county office. I got a county planner and a couple more staff. That's all. I don't have a public safety officer.
You just made my day, buddy. You made my day.
Public information officers. I don't have all these staff to sit together for the last 3 or 4 months to put together a multi-million-dollar project. It's going to take us a little while. So what I'm asking the board here is to reiterate what Jason said earlier. It's going to take us a little time. Does that mean we don't have needs? No, it does not. Is everybody aware the logistic zone was put together yesterday? There was a big hoopla about that between Gulf and Franklin and Liberty, on up to Gadsden County, Four County freight logistic zone I'm speaking about. We've got some studies going of how we can diversify our economy. We've got some things in the works, but it's not ready yet. We haven't got results of those studies. So I just want to bring that to the board's attention and to the public's attention that we are here. We were part of the oil spill. We are one of the 8 counties. But it's going to take us a little bit. And the gentleman here spoke a while ago about, you know, we need to move. Well, we do need to move. We need to move prudently. We need to make sure that we're trying to follow what was presented to us by the attorney earlier in the program and what money can be spent for, what it can't be spent for. I've learned that today as chairman of Franklin County Commission. I'm going to take this back, and we're going to try to start working on it. But I assure you, just as with the Gulf Coast Restore Act, Franklin County has not spent $1 of that money. We want to be prudent. How we spend that money? This is a one-shot deal, folks. As we've heard Senator Gates and Speaker Benz speak earlier, it's a one-shot deal. Let's use it wisely. Let's try to diversify the economies in these 8 counties. Let's try to move it forward. But let's make sure we do it right. And I think encumbering the funds is one thing. I don't think you have to spend the money today. We need to get good projects together that need to be presented to this tribe board. And I agree with all the accountability aspects and everything else that's been presented here today. Like I said, it sounds a lot like the Treasury and the Restore Act funds. And that's fine. We all know that the way that works, you know, and all the different pots of BP money. But let's just try to do it right. I just want to reiterate, we are small and it's going to take us a little bit. Be patient with it. That doesn't mean we don't have needs. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate your driving all the way over here. Are there any other elected officials that would like to speak? City, county, state, federal? Anyone that's elected? We have Michael Langston, Langton from Langton Consulting. Sir, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a former member of the House, I always respect the Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the board. Susan has a handout that passing around. It's going to be helpful. I'm Michael Langton of Langton Associates. We're a grants consulting and grant management firm based out of Jacksonville. But we're wise enough to start setting up an office. We're going to secure an office in Destin pretty soon to try to help some of these communities. What I've recommended to you today is what I refer to as a FAST grant system. What FAST means is an acronym for flexible, which a lot of you said allowable, simple, and trackable. Okay, so let me just go through some of the thoughts I have. Many of them you have expressed already, and I'm glad to see that I prepared this about a week ago, so I was kind of understanding where you were going. I think you should limit your rules to allow creative projects. Don't go much further than the statute requires you, because then you're just creating more bureaucracy, and you're creating an opportunity for more projects to be excluded. Don't do it. Resist the temptation. Have open submission dates. Don't set dates, because projects are going to mature at different levels at different times. Just let the process be open. Don't limit the award amounts. Don't limit it to a minimum amount. Don't limit a maximum amount. Just go with the flow. Create an objective evaluation criteria, but allow some subjective analysis in a scoring process. Because some of the things a project just doesn't hit on all the numbers and the score, but it's a great project. So have an objective criteria that's verifiable and to validate, but don't be so rigid with it. So don't be rigid in the scoring. Don't tie grant dollars to a specific number of jobs. That's what you, Dr. Danner, was mentioning, I think, that some of the programs, for instance, a program I'm familiar with, is for every job, you can get $35,000 in grants. Don't do that. Just tie your hands. Don't set limits on direct administrative costs. Just make sure they're reasonable. You don't have to set a limit. Just make sure they're reasonable. And allow reasonable indirect costs. So these counties can recoup some of their costs for their accountants and their lawyers and their buildings and so on and so forth. Now, moving to allow, try to make this a fund, Mr. Speaker. It just has to meet the goals and the priorities of the statutes. That's the first and most important thing. Don't limit who the eligible applicants are. You can do local governments, you can do others, you can do organizations. Just don't take the effort to limit it. The cost of grant money, allow that to be an allowable cost. It's a pre-award cost. The Restore Act allows it, the Treasury allows it, the Restore Council allows it. So if they wanted to engage the services because they're not as sophisticated as maybe somebody else, they can engage the services of somebody to write the grant, then they'll get paid once the grant comes in as a pre-award cost. That's grant vernacular, but it's important to allow that. Do not overly restrict clawback provisions. You don't want to scare people away that they're going to just take everything, get all your money, take it back, and go to jail. Just don't do that. Simple. Make the grant application very, very simple, very minimal. Ask for a list of clear numerical goals, but limit the narrative sections. Have lots of stuff you can check off the boxes, so you don't have to have a lot of prose, a lot of narrative in your application, because that scares people away. Don't require overly detailed budgets and budget narratives. You have to have budgets and have to say what the items are, but don't make it get into the absolute minutia, because again, it's more difficult. Electronic reporting system is a great idea. An electronic payment request is great. Electronic grant, as opposed to a paper, is a good idea, but some, again, will have problems with that. So you can allow either, both, make both available. Okay, tracker. Be open to various methods to evaluate and monitor success. The economic modeling. Be just open about that. Don't be, again, restrictive on that. Ask for quarterly reporting, annual financial and performance audits. Create a very simple closeout process. And only monitor for 2 years after the grant funds are all spent. And once the closeout occurs, only monitor for 2 years. The Restore Act is going to require you dictate the life of the project. It could be 20 years. You have to monitor it every year for 20 years. Don't do that with this program. You don't have to, and it's crazy. In general, my general thought is, see what works in your first run at this. You're not going to create a perfect program. There isn't one. And you're going to have. And there's going to be people, Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, you know, as a former electorate, that are going to be unhappy with this. They're going to be bitching and moaning. And so then you can refine and change the process each year or each cycle. Those are my thoughts. I'd be happy to serve in any capacity to work with your committee. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Representative. Let's go. Art Kimbrough. Art, I thought I saw you. Oh, there you are. Art, fire away. You're up. You're recognized. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, members of the board, Stan. I'll be the first one to admit that I'm one of the guilty ones in asking several of you to speak at an event, so I appreciate you raising that question earlier, Mr. President. I'm chairman of Vistage Florida Central Panhandle CEO Roundtable Association. Basically, our members are the job creators in the Panhandle. They range from 5 million to typically a couple hundred million in size, employing 10 to 200 people. Dr. Dana, you probably know my counterpart, Stan, Kathy Anthony, over in the Pensacola area. She's got a group of business owners in her district group that she represents. We are not the ones who will likely be coming to you asking for grants. However, as employers in the Panhandle, we are the many times the enablers of these enterprises, these projects to get done. It may be the staffing company that's helping one of them find the employees to be able to fill the requirements. It may be the uniform company that's making the apparel for the uniform people to do. It could even be the tire dealer that, because of the growth, more vehicles have to be there. My goal in being here today is real simple, and that's to connect our members with the guiding principles, priorities, and processes of this panel, of this enterprise, to see where it's going. We want to stay connected to know how it works, how we can contribute to the thought process of it, because we will be the ones, I think, as you said, Senator Gates, 20 years from now, we want to know that something's here. It's not. We will still be here. But if the population has grown 1% over 20 years, we're still serving, spending the same money. If our population has grown 20% because of the inputs of this capital that create a platform for growth in the Panhandle, then it won't just be limited to what happens along the beach. It will have a spillover effect even north of I-10. So I'm simply here today to say thank you for the work you're doing to put together a very well-organized process and to keep us connected. And yes, I'm looking forward to seeing one of you next Thursday at my event.
Thank you, Art. We appreciate it, buddy. Before we introduce our next speaker, I see Dr. Hanna back there. Dr. Hanna, thank you so much. He's the dean here at the FSU Panama City Branch. Thank you for opening up your facilities to us. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you, Art, very much for your input there. Next, we have Adrian Clark with Explore. Okay. Craig Barker, Northwest Florida, NWFSC. I'm not sure what
State College.
State College, sorry about that. Craig, welcome, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm rising for you today as a Board of Trustee member for Northwest Florida State College. Probably like everybody in this room, we think we've got a couple of projects that are regional, transformative, generational, sustainable, all the buzzwords that we've all heard. Senator Gates, when you were the champion of the original legislation that received the governor's signature, it was very simple, great approach, and I think very clear, and we commend you for that. Obviously, now there's been some challenges interjected into that, and I think a lot of people are asking themselves, how does multi-year projects work? In other words, if we need seed funding up front, but it might be a 10-year project, how does that work? If we had to work in stages to build the project out. Also, I think everybody looks for regional projects, things that will lift the regional economy. I know that certainly one of our projects, though we operate in a two-county region, we expect to lift the entire Panhandle of Florida. So with regard to the county commissioner approach and having the county commissioners weigh in on the projects, do we need to go to each of the county commissions to gain their support through resolution, through ordinance, by letter of approval? How does that process work? Do we need all county commissioners to weigh in, just the affected counties that where we our footprint might operate? And so those are some of the questions that we have. The other questions regarding matching funds and others have been very well, I think, answered today. We clearly hear you. I also, Lisa's presentation, will that be made available
yes.
on the website?
Yes.
So we can, okay. Thank you very much. I think that's all that I had, but I would like to hear a little bit of discussion maybe at the next meeting on how you plan to handle the Board of County Commissioner approval for regional type projects.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. I would keep your eye on when that committee meeting is going to be. That's where a lot of those, initially, all those issues will be hammered out. Matt Terry, Port St. Joe, Port Authority.
We need to talk, sir. Thank you.
I figure Warren Yeager will take care of you.
Yeah.
Randy, I've already gone through that one. Warren Yeager. Warren's next.
I know you politician, ex-politician.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Most everything has been covered that I had a list that I wanted to speak to. I'm certainly glad that I hear the discussion talking about small counties versus more urban counties, those type of things. But I think it goes even further than that. Each city and school system in these eight county regions have different qualities. So I think you can't just go by specific criteria on any of this. I think you have to take into consideration. So when I heard somebody talk about flexibility in this whole process, I do believe that flexibility is key. Jason spoke to it very well also about the smaller counties, and I think Commissioner Parrish spoke very well about the number of staff that he has. Gulf and Wakulla is very similar, Walton is very similar, so the staff is limited. So I think the easier the process going forward, the more simple the process. Yeah, I think that one of the things that I wanted to mention, it might be, I heard pre-application. It might even be good for a pre-application process for some of these areas to vet some of these projects. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Warren. Thanks for coming over, buddy. Let's see, Daryl Boudreaux. Daryl, are you here?
I am. I thought it was a sign-in sheet.
You signed in, but at least somebody signed your name in. Let me put it this way. You may not be the culprit,
but much like yourself. Well, that's a good point, too. Much like yourself, give me a mic, I'll use it. So I've worked for the Nature Conservancy, and really I made this comment a few weeks back, but really what I'd like you to consider is making ready sites. So one of the things in the panhandle that I think we could very much benefit both the economic and the environment is making sure we have the infrastructure for new development. So investing in our wastewater treatment systems and our stormwater systems. And if we use the opportunity to invest in like regional stormwater ponds, in Pensacola, the city of Pensacola put in Admiral Mason Park. It's a beautiful amenity right next to Gulf Power's building.
Slow down, buddy. You got plenty of time.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Appreciate the latitude. So they put in Appalachian Park, which creates amenity, but it also treats the stormwater for businesses that will go in upstream. And if we invest in more regional systems like that, that creates an environmental benefit while also providing multiple benefits of recreation for the community and making it easier for businesses to come in because those environmental considerations are already taken care of, you're hitting a lot of birds with one stone. No offense, all along in the room. So I just wanted you to think about that. Investing in the ready sites, the regional infrastructure creates economic opportunity while also hitting on that environmental concern. So thank you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thanks
thank
for,
you for all your gratitude.
Thank you. Lee Goodson. Lee, you're recognized.
Thanks, sir. Once again, you guys are amazing, and I really compliment you on how well you organize and manage these meetings. One of the things that I'm here for today is to let you know that the design professionals in this community, through the American Institute of Architects, the Northwest Florida chapter, and also the United States Green Building Council, the environmental professionals in this market, I'm on the board of both those groups, and we want to help with the standing process and to help support the board in getting these projects through this application process quickly. And to give you a sense of confidence that you're getting what you need to have. One of the things we'd like you to encourage you to do is to support high-performance design and when you look at these applications, which is something that we need to have for the future of Northwest Florida. And we have design professionals in all of the eight counties that are members of these groups that are itching to help. Also, improving quality of life with environmentally conscious just like we were just talking about, the animal basin park, takes it as at home. So just keep that in mind, that we're here to help. If you need us, please call us.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate your being here, and you were at the last meeting. That's everyone has signed up, has spoken. Anyone else wish to speak? Please feel free to.
Good morning, Jim Muller with Bay County Restore Act Coordinator. And the one time that I didn't accidentally sign off on the want to speak sign versus the attendance sign. But following on the conversations that y'all had today, I've got a lot of experience dealing with application processes. And I believe in objective, measurable criteria, but I'm not really a big fan of strict scoring systems. You can gain the system for points, ended up with not a great project, but you got points. So this program is broad enough that it's difficult to think of all the situations, all the different types of projects to come up with a scoring system would cover all that. And I'd like to keep the judgment of the board in the selection process rather than just rubber stamping what went through a strict scoring system. Use your expertise and experience as a reason that y'all were picked for this, and so take advantage of that. And also, I'd say don't disadvantage a single focus project versus a multiple focus. Just because they hit more points or more criteria doesn't mean they're a better project. You can do one thing very well, and that can be very important for our economic future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. I also see Representative Mel Ponder back there. Wake up, Mel. Wave to us all. Thank you for your help in getting this legislation passed this past session. We really do appreciate it. And thank you for coming all the way over here. We're grateful. Would you like to say a few words? Every politician wants to say. Yeah. Trust me on that. I've never had one term. Have you?
No, never, never said.
I'm playing, Mel, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. President, Board, it's an honor to be here with you. I hold you in high esteem. Y'all are the change agents that are literally transformed Northwest Florida in a lot of ways. And as I often said, a lot of people, you know, our moment in history will be recorded by what we do with what's been given us. And as overseers of our region and individual communities, the same, and each of those that are here, what an amazing group. I mean, Northwest Florida is different. Y'all live here. You know that. And this moment of time, Senator President Gates, you had the vision and the fight then. But we get to walk in now, and so I honor what you did then. You get to honor the service now, and for me, I'm just a fan of what you're doing. I just want to sit back and with awe look at the wisdom y'all bring to the table collectively, and I believe when you focus on what unites you as opposed to divides you, you're going to get a lot more things done. And so anyway, I just came as a fan, as a spectator, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thanks a lot, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you again for your help in preserving the Triumph Project this past session. We're very honored. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Kim Lomas, Florida's Great Northwest. Thank you for the opportunity.
Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Wanted to share Florida's Great Northwest helped lead the development of the Northwest Florida Forward Regional Transformation Strategy. It took 18 months to get to that development of the strategy. We had 850 people from across the region provide input to that regional strategy, and I ask that you consider that is, but since the initiatives that are indicated in that strategy are intended to be transformational, that you consider projects that are aligned with what's listed in that strategy is given a little more priority. I also ask that you give priority to some of the proposals that are submitted or supported by economic development organizations across the region, those that are recognized by Enterprise Florida, just because their sole mission is economic diversification. So I ask that you consider that as you're evaluating proposals. Thank you.
Great. Any questions of Kim? Susan?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to let you know that we are hoping to have a presentation on that regional strategy at our September meeting. So.
Great. Get ready.
Great. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ben Jenke. I'm the Economic Development Director for the City of Lynn Haven.
Welcome, Ben. Long drive, huh?
Yeah, very long. I wanted to follow up. Dr. Dana mentioned that one of her goals is to have this application form ready for the board to approve at the next board meeting. I would recommend, once this initial application is approved, for the board maybe to revisit this application after 6 months, maybe 12 months, to see if any calibration is needed.
Good idea.
This is a very dynamic process. I'm sure this application will be close to perfect, but once the committee is visiting or is reviewing the first 10 to 20 applications, they may find out that some things need to be adjusted. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Chairman?
We appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Ben. I think that's very good advice. I think our goal should be to bring back as complete an application as possible to the next meeting, but it would be for the review by the board rather than the expectation of, you know, just outright that it will be approved. So
I think we were hoping for October, the October being to formally approve it, but, you know, so if you can do it quicker than that, that's great. Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to speak? William Harrison, you've never sat for 2 hours without speaking. I know you want to say something.
Taking notes, sir.
All right. Okay, members, anything for the good of the order? Susan, you have any where do we meet again? We'll get you one of these really fancy ones.
Okay. The board I've polled everyone, and September the 13th works for our next meeting. Our October date works. We've got a couple of issues with November and December that I'm still trying to work through. But the next board meeting will be September the 13th and tentatively set for 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Northwest Florida State College campus in Niceville. So we will move forward from there.
Okay. Members, anything else?
No.
President Gates moves that we adjourn.